Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
All right. We are back. Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck on the Free Talk Live Network. Thank you for hanging out with us. If you want to hear Good Morning Liberty with a new episode every single day of the week, when we want to, then you can go to BernieLies.com in your browser or just search Good Morning Liberty on your favorite podcast app. I want to tell you guys about some movies that we saw, some stuff that we did over the weekend. So we're going to talk a little bit of pop culture and some of the movies that are out there right now. And are you the kind of person who sees movies over and over again? Or is that just kind of weird? It's definitely a lot of money to go do that. Do you go see movies over and over again? In fact, if you're someone who sees movies over and over again, tell me what that movie was. You can just tweet us. Just tweet us at Good AM Liberty. Remember, this is Liberty at Night, but Charlie and I have a show that's called Good Morning Liberty. So we got a Twitter. Send us a tweet. Tell me what movie it was and how many times you saw it in the theater. I'm not talking about how many times you watched it. We're not talking about Shawshank Redemption here, or Forrest Gump, in my case, which is the greatest movie of all time. And if you disagree, that's fine. There are plenty of people that are wrong about things. I get it, okay? You're more than welcome to disagree on that. So let's talk about The Sound of Freedom. And then we're also going to have this conversation, once again, about RFK Jr., who libertarians, some of them, are kind of obsessed with right now. And I guess right now we are obsessed with the fact that some libertarians are obsessed with him. Does that mean that we are obsessed? Well, we're going to talk about some words that he said in a speech at Freedom Fest that we were at last week in Memphis, Tennessee. Movie recap. Charlie, you went and saw a movie. How was it?
I went and saw The Sound of Freedom with my mom. It was very heavy. It was really good. It was well done. It was suspenseful. It was also heart-wrenching and heavy. And it makes me feel like I'm not doing anything to help anyone. Honestly.
Is that true? Are you not doing anything to help anyone? No, it's not true.
But you should go see it, by the way.
Is it an actual good movie?
It is a good movie.
Like, if you don't even care about the content, that they do a good job with the movie.
Even if you hate children.
I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is sometimes when people have an emotional reason to see a movie or even a political.
No, like, it's really well
like
done.
Like a QAnon reason to go see a movie.
No, it's well done.
Okay, yeah, I gotcha.
It's definitely, I mean, it seems, you know, like it would be high budget, even though I don't think it was.
Okay.
It's good. It's a good movie.
I went and saw the new Mission Impossible. It was amazing. It left me feeling like it was, I would say, top two or top three of the seven Mission Impossible movies that there have been so far.
Was that because it was an IMAX or?
IMAX was good. It was a very good balance of great action. And then it was also really funny. Probably one of the best car chase scenes I've ever seen that also had points where you were just laughing your behind off. You're welcome, FCC, for that right there. Laughing your behind off during some suspenseful moments. And so, yeah, it was really good.
And then, in the hotel room, Nate had never seen Good Will Hunting.
That's true.
Which I thought was strange, because it's probably in my top 10 favorite movies. I think it's one of Robin Williams' best performances that's not, you know, comedic, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And what'd you think?
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
I fell asleep by the end.
You fell asleep.
Well, it's one of the movies in my rotation.
Yeah.
That I go to sleep to at night.
It was better than I imagined it would be, and I put off watching it this entire time. And just
30
like,
years.
Just, yeah. I wanted to mention,
Paula said that she saw The Sound of Freedom twice, that it was that good.
Really?
I'm telling you, it's a well-put-together movie.
I'm going to go see Mission Impossible again, I can guarantee you that. Hmm. And I'll probably see Oppenheimer 2 to 3 times in the theater. So anyway, that's what we did. Oh, by the way, it's not really a spoiler. It's in the first second of the movie. The villain in Mission Impossible 7 is AI, that they call the Entity. And this AI is going to take control of everything and manipulate everyone and change what the truth is. It's kind of like Charlie's Ex. And it got me thinking about AI.
I was taking a drink.
It got me thinking, should I be more worried about AI? It wasn't actually that. First, I watched this documentary on Netflix called Killer Robots, and it was a documentary about why we should be afraid of AI.
Mm.
And I will tell you, there are things that I haven't thought of. For instance, in this Killer Robots documentary, they mention
ask it to make these chemical compounds that are these molecular formations that are healthy or safe. And then they decide one day to send it the other direction and see how bad of a compound they can make. And it ends up making things that are more dangerous than VX nerve gas overnight. It makes like 40,000 of them. Different. Like, it doesn't physically make them. It gives you the computation that you would need to make this thing. And just like overnight, the most dangerous kind of chemical compounds known to man. Compounds most known for their danger.
Yeah.
Their dangerous nature.
To men.
Not women, though.
Yeah.
And so it was a sexist AI. Should we be more worried about this kind of stuff? And is Terminator real?
I don't know. I mean, if they can ever figure out how to charge themselves, you know? I mean, what if, like, okay, imagine they could build themselves in a way that they could start to consume food,
mm-hmm.
like we do, for energy.
Yeah.
I mean,
they do consume food. It's just an electrical nature. Yeah,
by burning coal or something.
Yeah. Coal, yes.
But what if they build themselves up? A
coal-filled backpack. It's just a steam robot running around.
And then you can't unplug them, you know? And then what are you going to do?
That's basically the plot of Terminator right
yeah,
there. Just like the movie to me.
Yeah, they'd probably definitely be nuclear powered, that's for sure. They'll figure that out.
What I thought of from watching that documentary and then watching this movie, some people will watch those and they will say, well, we got to have the government regulate this then. And I'm just like, what the hell is the government going to do to regulate these things? They're not going to do anything. All they're going to do is set up a structure where only a couple big paying companies can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the people in the government, are you kidding me, man? They got no clue what this stuff is. The people making it don't know what the stuff is. It's brand new, and they don't know what it's going to do until they turn it on.
And can you trust the government?
Like, what kind of regulation are they going to make?
I mean, the government, they leak all kinds of stuff. You can't trust them. They do all kinds of just human errors, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
That brings us to the first story.
We finally made it to our... No, yeah. Wait. Sorry. This was... Oh, we could actually... I was going to do some more stuff. We had a RFK Jr. clip from Freedom Fest here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, let's do that first.
A little bit of recap on things. Now, here's why... I put this on the screen here. Here's why we're talking about RFK yet again, because I talked about him last week, too. This is not exactly... It's not because of this one being libertarian post right here. But this is a good example. There's 8,600 votes on this, and this is a Being Libertarian page. It's probably mostly going to be libertarians that respond to this. And would you support RFK Jr. as a Libertarian Party nomination for president? 35.9% of people said yes. And 44.4% of people.
And even 20% said
no. And then we have a maybe. I want to double check that we're good on the sound for everyone. Give us a yes. Give us a H, yeah, if we're good on the sound. I saw the computer screen flicker in and out, so I just want to double check. Okay. There we go. We got in trouble.
Yeah.
We got in trouble on the, that radio show we told you about. Pulled some clips. And
Nate let some words slip.
Charlie and I have got a little loosey-goosey now that his mom hasn't been here as often watching the shows. And so we, our very first time being on the 160 or so radio stations around the country, we let an S-word slip out there, you know.
The FCC won't let it be.
I saw that email come through, and I was like, oh, right then.
Or let me be me.
Okay, so 35.9% of... the respondents on a Twitter poll, but it is from a libertarian page, a very big libertarian page, say that, yes, they would support that. Also, I will tell you, a lot of people there to see RFK Jr. at Freedom Fest, a festival most known for Republicans and libertarians.
Also, the only speaker who required metal detectors to go in to watch him speak.
True. And that's because he thinks someone's going to try to kill him.
Yeah.
And he's got to...
I get it.
If your dad and your uncle were both murdered by the CIA or whoever...
And you're a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I get security's going to be different.
I understand. I get that part.
At a Freedom Fest in Tennessee where there's constitutional carry...
Mm-hmm.
And they had signs on the door, though, that you couldn't even have a weapon in there to begin with.
Yeah.
At this place. But anyway, you. It was just, you know, not even Mike Rowe required you to drop your weapons.
Honestly, who wants to kill Mike Rowe?
There could be somebody out there that, you know, is really upset. PETA people.
PETA, that's right. He said he had an issue with them. Hey, PETA, let's talk about what RFK had to say over there at Freedom Fest. Now, there was a point during the speech that I turned to Charlie and I said, he sounds like a freaking anarchist right now. I'm only going to give you this 3 minutes that I chopped up. And then I also want to complain to you that Freedom Fest, for some reason, doesn't want to be involved in all of the clips that are going around Twitter that they're showing what candidates had to say and smart or stupid things they had to say. Freedom Fest wants you to watch the live stream when they have Freedom Fest going on, and then they want you to, like, pay to get the videos afterwards. And so I hope that works out for them rather than being part of all the Twitter sphere with the Turning Point videos and the Summit videos and all those other things going around. Okay. The reason I'm saying that is because there's only 16 minutes of the RFK speech, and then you go to freedomfest.com, which you can only watch when it's live, and then they'll send them all out to you later on, some other day.
Mm.
That's it. So
that's a bad business model, I think.
RFK is talking about his environmental activism, and he will say that he thinks the free market is the best thing for the environment. There'll be a spot here where it's going to skip ahead. He is talking about the pollution of the Hudson River and GE. He says a few words about it, and then I cut into the story. Now, he does a good job telling the story, although he's kind of got something in his throat the whole time. But he does a good job telling the story and pulling on your heartstrings, and it sounds like he gets a little choked up. And I understand that he does seem like a very sincere person. I will say that. I think he deeply cares about these issues.
He's a marketing genius.
And
he knows if you have to know your audience.
Oh, he knew his audience.
So
here we go.
This man showed up with a plan.
Same thing when people ask me, what's the most important thing that we can do to protect our environment? I've always said the same thing. It's free market capitalism.
Always said the same thing. They ate it up.
And we've cleaned up most of the large pollution sources in the river. But the fishermen are now virtually all out of business. But they didn't go out of business because their business model didn't work. The people I represent were capitalists. They believed in the capitalist system. And they knew that for 350 years, their business model was working. The reason it stopped working is because the General Electric Company had better lobbyists than they did in Albany. That company was able to get permission from the Department of Environmental Conservation and federal EPA to do something that was completely illegal, which was to dump its waste into the Hudson River. I was part of the original discussions where GE was threatening the governor. We have 60,000 jobs in New York State. And if you don't allow us to dump the PCBs into the river, we are going to move over to New Jersey. And we'll do it from that side of the river. And they'll get the jobs. And they'll get the tax revenue. And you're still going to get the PCBs. So New York went along with it. A decade later, General Electric closed those plants and moved all 60,000 workers out of New York State. And they left the people of the state with a $4.3 billion cleanup bill that nobody can pay. And everybody in the Hudson Valley has General Electric's PCBs in their flesh and their organs. And this fishery that had enriched the palate and the culture and the economy and the history of the Hudson Valley for 3.5 centuries was closed down. And it was closed down because somebody got a subsidy, because General Electric got a subsidy that allowed it to evade the discipline of free market capitalism. And from the beginning, I've said that free markets are good for the true free markets, not what we have in this country, which is corporate crony capitalism. A true free market promotes efficiency, and efficiency means the elimination of waste, and pollution is waste. A true free market would encourage us and force us to properly value our natural resources. And it's the undervaluation of those resources that cause us to use them wastefully. In a true free market, you can't make yourself rich without making your neighbors rich and without enriching your community. But what polluters do is they make themselves rich by making everybody else poor. They raise standards of living for themselves by lowering quality of life for the rest of us. And they do that by escaping the discipline of the free market. You show me a polluter, I'll show you a subsidy. I'll show you a fat cat using political clout to escape the discipline of the free market and force the public to pay their production costs.
Okay. Well, that's what did you think about that part of the speech, Charles?
It's libertarian RFK right there.
It was kind of a libertarian RFK.
Yeah.
A little bit. Now, one thing he was talking about in this, one thing he was talking about was that GE was able to do this because they got a subsidy. They were able to do it because
they
had better lobbyists. And I understand that it's wrong of GE to do this, but the incentive structure was there, and you're not going to find any perfect human beings to run these corporations. And what they actually got was not just a pass to do it. They actually got a release from the legal liability of doing it because they got permission to do it from the government. And at the time that they did that, that meant that no one was going to be able to go after them for all of their damages. And if they would not have been able to be released from all the liability, then the free market would have fixed this problem for them and made an example out of them so other corporations did not do this in the future, because it would be well known that if there was a $4.3 billion cleanup bill from what GE did and they got this lawsuit, well, there's precedent on this. People are going to go after us. All of these companies went bad. The fisheries went out of business because the fish are too toxic to eat and all that. And we ended up having to pay for the whole ecosystem of this area that we polluted. And so no one else is going to do it after that again. Instead, what they got was a pass. Not just to do it, but to not get in trouble for it. And for you, the government gave them a pass.
They got immunity.
They got an immunity deal from the government for hurting you so the government could get the tax revenue. Anyway, his issue is he starts off really by blaming the corporation. And I get it. They're easy to hate. They're easy to blame for things. But they're just human beings. And you tell them that they can save money by dumping stuff in the river instead of getting rid of it otherwise, and that they can't get in trouble for it, they're going to do it.
What's the incentive structure?
You can't rely on perfect moral angels being in control of everything. They're not in control of the government. They're not going to be in control of corporations. What matters are the incentive systems that are in place.
But he's not wrong what he was saying, that, okay, if we had a true free market, then a company like GE would actually get in trouble for something like this. I'm not talking trouble from the government. I'm talking trouble from the society at large, being that they would not put up with this kind of thing. And therefore, either there would be lawsuits for harm that was caused by their pollution. And also, people would probably stop using GE products and things along that nature. And they could vote in that way.
Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing, which I couldn't find on I couldn't get in video form. Do you remember when he went into talking about the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
He started talking about how the wealth of whatever amount of billionaires increased. He also complained that we created a new billionaire every day during the pandemic. Okay. So you think about someone's underlying assumptions about wealth and what that means. You got to think it's inherently bad.
He's not doing bad.
Probably pretty poor. I'm sure. He hasn't benefited from any inheritance or anything like that, I'm sure. Nothing like that. So he inherently has this problem with wealth, first off, by framing it as a bad thing that we had all these new billionaires pop up during the pandemic. But he is talking about how the government gave people a bunch of money, a bunch of printed money. And so he is right in pointing that whole thing out. But then he says something that we don't have on video, so he says something later that Jeff Bezos shut down all of his competition. That's what he said. He said that in the speech. He said that Jeff Bezos shut down all of his other competition. Doesn't say it was the government. He's talking about how billionaires increase their wealth, and Jeff Bezos was able to do it by shutting down his competition. At that point, we left.
Yep.
That was it for me.
And people were still clapping.
Yes.
And they're all wrapped around the finger.
All because he hates some of the same people that they hate, and that's all they care about.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
Well, and he was able to spin some of his positions in a way to his audience, which isn't true. Like, you listen to him on Rogan, this guy's not a free market capitalist.
No.
He doesn't actually believe in a true free market. His economic positions are terrible. He wants just as much government intervention as the next Democrat.
Yeah, he does. You know?
It's like, you know, I think he's good on some things. I think he's willing to question some things. But when it comes to the things that actually matter, I think, my personal opinion, the things that are the most important, which is economics, has to be up there. I mean, if economics affects everything in your life, everything. It decides, like, what quality of life you're going to have, whether or not you're going to have a life.
It decides whether or not you can eat.
Yeah.
It decides whether or not you can eat or have access to water or shelter.
Fundamental things
anything.
In life. Yes. And so, and then he's able to twist that around and say, you know, I am for those things when he's very clearly not. Just like Tulsi Gabbard. I love her on war and all kinds of things, but she's terrible when it comes to the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely atrocious.
She wanted a 95% windfall tax on corporations.
Yes.
During the pandemic.
And so was RFK Jr. So,
you know what the windfall tax was, by the way?
Shame to all those people clapping for him.
Shame. It bothers me. It bothers me that so many people are okay with this because it means that they don't actually have any underlying principles. It means that they're mad about something, and he's mad about something too. And as long as he says that he's going to punish people that you're also mad at, then that's all you care about.
Mm-hmm.
And that really bothers me because he's going to be confronted with a lot of others. Listen, he's not going to be the president, but it's the principle of the matter. He would be confronted with several other situations while he is the president and have the opportunity to sign several terrible bills and several terrible budgets and push a lot of different policies and sign a lot of different executive orders. And if he starts from the standpoint of wealth creation is inherently bad, or it's always the corporation or the business person's fault. That's the productive side of the economy. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. And it bothers me that so many libertarians and Republicans are cool. You know, I've seen a lot of people say, like, well, one thing wrong with Gary Johnson, and I didn't vote for him. You know, a lot of people are like that. Or, like, a couple things wrong with some conservative, Rand Paul or someone. But then you get someone like RFK. He's got like one or two things right, and everything else is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they're cool with it. And it's just because it's a populist movement. That's all it is. All right, folks, we'll be right back. One more segment, Liberty at Night. We're going to talk about how we can change things. We'll talk to someone who used to be progressive, and now they are a libertarian. I don't even think libertarian describes them. Voluntarist, anarchist. I don't know what it is, but we're going to talk to Keith Knight when we come back.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment, and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a 1 week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this 1 week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Records expected to be broken when it comes to back-to-school shopping this year.
Back-to-school spending is set to reach an astonishing $41.5 billion, breaking all previous records. That's according to the National Retail Federation. Families with children in elementary through high school have budgeted an average of $890 for back-to-school items, while college students and their families are expected to spend over $1,300 per person. The main driving force, the growing demand for electronics. 69% of back-to-school back-to-school shoppers are planning to purchase electronics or computer-related accessories, marking the highest percentage ever recorded in the survey.
Correspondent John Schaefer. The report says Monday was officially the hottest day ever in the Northern Hemisphere. The record comes just weeks after NOAA claimed the world as a whole set new heat records several days in a row. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck. I'm Nate, and Charles. Chuck Thompson's right there.
Hey.
How's it going, man?
Hey, going great. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. We are almost done. If you're listening tonight, well, this has been 3 hours worth of things so far. Okay, quite a bit. And we've talked about capitalism and whether or not we should hate billionaires or people who have more than us, especially old people, because they typically have more than we do.
They've been around a lot longer.
Yeah, they've had more time for their salaries to go up, you know. We talked about how climate change, I think, is going to kill everyone. I'm pretty sure about that. You know, we might be starting another inflation wave pretty soon, so that's not good. With all these crazy, terrible, terrible things that we see out there, is there any hope, Charlie?
Maybe just a tiny sliver. You know, you don't want to hold on to it, though.
No.
Because, you know, then you just set yourself up for disappointment.
That's what life is, man.
Yeah.
Don't care what Obama says, right?
There is hope.
Yeah.
You know, and there's ways that you can approach things in life. You know, you get to choose. That's the coolest thing, and that's how you take your power back. Like, things in life happen, or the world is heading a certain direction, but you get to choose how you respond to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the ultimate power of the individual still.
Especially you taking the responsibility for the one that needs to respond to it. And whatever it is that even could have gone wrong, like, that's the power in taking responsibility in things, because then that means that you're the person that can change it. And that's really how we approach all of the discussions on the show, you know?
And you're the person that can change.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change anyone else.
You really can't.
You can change some systems and things like that eventually, maybe, but it really starts with you.
Yeah.
And you can be the change that you wish to see.
That's a great quote. You should.
Yeah.
Do you want to write that down? Maybe
I read that in a book once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And put Charles Chuck Thompson down at the bottom of it. That's a good idea. So what do we talk about on before we get to this interview with Keith Knight from the Libertarian Institute? Really great talk with him. He's a voluntarist, used to be a progressive, used to be an Obama supporter. And then he, turned out that he didn't like wars. And it wasn't just because he hated George Bush. And so he'll be, that means he also ended up not liking Obama at the same time. So an actual principle.
I mean, he loved
guy.
Obama to begin with.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he found out that it was just more war. And so he didn't like that. And so this is, oh, wait, what just happened? Oh, you.
Solo.
Solo. You went Chuck Solo right there.
Sure did.
And muted at the same time. You took control and prevented anyone else from doing anything, and then you ceased operations.
It starts with you.
At the same time.
It starts with you.
It's not the kind of control we're talking about. Okay, so to continue on, I'm talking about Keith Knight. It was a really great talk we had over at Freedom Fest. Keith is one of those super knowledgeable guys, the kind of guy that when he looks at something, he remembers it forever, and it's not frustrating. I think it's amazing. I'm not frustrated about that gift that he has at all. But so we do the show every day. Good morning, Liberty. And Charlie, what would you say we talk about the most?
Life,
mm-hmm.
Liberty, and the pursuit of meaning.
Why not happiness?
Because happiness is fleeting. That comes a lot from, Jordan Peterson. I think he's, shined a good light on that because there are things in your life that are going to happen and you're for sure not going to be happy. So you have to have something else that's going to sustain you. You have to have some type of meaning and purpose. You have to have a why.
You do.
And without that, then what are you fighting for? I mean, why do you want to see the world be a better place?
That's why people could give up, because they forget why they're fighting. Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, gentlemen. Thank you guys for having me.
The Voluntarist Handbook?
Yes, sir.
So what's that all about?
So these are the 50 essays that took me from being a progressive to being a voluntarist. I wanted to buy the copyrights for all of them and then make a free PDF available to anyone at libertarianinstitute.org. You see, the progressives will tell us we believe in free education, and also we want to take 30% of your income every year to fund it, and textbooks are $500. At the Institute, we really want to provide the free education progressives pretend to provide people. So what I do is I start the book out by just listing off the definitions of the words so we can at least be on the same page with people. So when they say, capitalism is greed and profit-seeking, I don't know anything greedier than give me your property or we'll put you in a cage and shoot you if you resist. So greed is in no way unique to capitalism. As far as making profit, the state profits very heavily when it collects money coercively, not to mention all the soldiers who make money, all the cops who make money, teachers aren't unpaid volunteers. Again, we have profit-seeking. So if you think things like the free market or capitalism, that unique aspects of those things are greed or corruption or profit, you're not going to be able to see the situation clearly. So what I start off by doing is I define communism as the abolition of private property, as Karl Marx did, socialism as the institutionalized aggression against or interference with private property, and capitalism as a social system based on the explicit recognition of mutually beneficial voluntary contracts between private property owners. Once this consistent layout is given, then I have essays from 1850, going back to Frederick Bastiat, early 1900s, Auburn Herbert, who really founded the current movement of voluntarism. And we also have original articles by former Marines like Shane Hazel, who ran for governor in Georgia, and Shepard the Voluntarist, who was a police officer in Montana or Wyoming, I believe. So, yes, these are the essays that I want people to check out. I have a collection of quotes in here from The Most Dangerous Superstition, Economics in One Lesson, Lysander Spooner's Constitution of No Authority. It's the one book that I want to give people to introduce them to our ideas and really make the case that it's not about big state, small state, that or it's not even about the black versus white, man versus woman fake divide that the media and politicians are always pushing. A true divide that we can have in society is people who achieve their ends peacefully through mutually beneficial voluntary exchanges, and those who do so violently. Those should be the villains, not the rich or the whites or the men or any other fake thing. That's why I think the book is important.
Milton Friedman said it's always the other fella who's greedy. Never us, right?
Never us.
Okay, so you mentioned something at the beginning of that, which is that this is a collection of essays you put together because you went from extreme progressivism to voluntarism. Walk me through that. Like, what did this start out in college? Were you in high school? What kind of led you down this path to want to learn more?
I was so young, I would go to Sedona to see my grandparents, and you can't appreciate the beauty of Sedona when you're like 12, and they were big advocates for Barack Obama. And I had just seen that the divide is between people who want to give us stuff for free, and then there's other people who don't care if you go without the stuff. So Obama's obviously a guy who's somewhat of an angel. He's able to provide things for free. No one else is able to do this. This man is literally Santa Claus. This is horrific. We got to get this guy in the White House quick. So once you have that fake divide, you assume the people who want others to go without, well, that's evil and greedy, and how could you not support this? So Obama gets elected. We're all very excited. And then I was thinking, how could you not support someone like this? Well, it's got to be, obviously, because he's black. Turns out they hated Clinton and Joe Biden just as much. It never occurred to me to say, can I apply this criticism to the previous Democrat? I hadn't read Thomas Sowell yet. So I was like, okay, this guy Glenn Beck, I guess, is like the lead Klansman who's really rallying all these people to hate a man who's just nice for a living. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Beck had an interesting objection to the Affordable Care Act. He said, well, there's economic costs and benefits like there aren't anything, but what this bill has is something called an individual mandate, which requires you by law to purchase something whether or not you actually want it. And at that point, I said, well, then I wouldn't support this law, because people should have health insurance, and people should read books, and they should listen to Good Morning Liberty. But the question is not should they. The question is should they be forced to. And that's when I did not support the Affordable Care Act anymore. It took me 10 years to apply that principle consistently and become, like, a voluntarist. But that was the defining moment that made me say, well, does this just apply to Barack Obama's health care law? It actually applies to Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and compulsory education. It's like, when am I going to be willing to put someone in a cage and shoot them if they resist? Slavers, murderers, kidnappers, rapists, absolutely. People who don't chip in for a welfare state they think has costs that exceed the benefits. I go, okay, well, maybe shame them. Maybe do a better job at making the welfare system beneficial so people want to brag about funding it. But I wouldn't be willing to cage the person and shoot them if they resist. Once I started seeing things through that lens, I was just Ron Paul all the way. And that's what introduced me to guys like Stefan Molyneux and Larkin Rose and Carrie Wedler. That was the origin of when I said, you know, I might be wrong about everything. That was really it. Supporting Obama and the Affordable Care Act individual mandate.
That right there, when you said, well, I might be wrong about everything, there are a few people who have the ability to even consider that as an option. I'm assuming that you're someone who's always been willing to question things, clearly, and you've always, you know, looked for the truth. And
taking responsibility, having some introspection.
Is that the case? Were you always like that?
No. What happens is there are some places in life where you give yourself a really nice green light and you say, I'm totally open to being wrong about this, usually at the expense of a lot of other things. I was a drug addict at the time, and if I was really willing to question things and see things clearly and just care about the truth, I would have been able to see that objectively. We all have tons of blind spots, and that's why it's up to, you know, people like you guys to show people. You know, I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you're ignorant. I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm saying you might have a blind spot. Doesn't mean you're a terrible driver, but in every car, there more or less is a blind spot where you just can't see. Same exact thing happens with the human brain. Another big red pill moment that stood out to me was reading George Bush's speech from September 20th, 2001. Bush is talking to Congress, first time since the attacks, and he says, "Americans are asking, why do they hate us? They hate what they see in this chamber right here, a democratically elected government. Their leaders are self-appointed. They hate our freedom of religion and our freedom to disagree with each other and our freedom to vote, more or less." And I had just more or less believed that. And then I came across two books, Al-Qaeda in Its Own Words, published by Harvard University, and a book called Jihad, Interviews, Speeches, and Declarations by Osama bin Laden. And it turns out there is a much more reasonable explanation for why people are willing to die, just as after 9/11, Americans were willing to die in defense. Turns out that it was a response to a murder campaign that took place in the late 90s under Bill Clinton in Iraq. Just as we see the states of America as different parts of our family, the Islamic world sees the different Islamic countries as extensions of their family. So bin Laden was able to recruit people by showing them the sanctions that killed Iraqis throughout the 90s after the first Gulf War, the bombings that killed innocent women and children, the occupation of the land of the two sanctuaries known as Mecca and Medina, where they were stationing the troops to bomb. And just as Democrats flipped out over there was Russian interference in the election, of course, that was all fake. Imagine if Putin had troops stationed in America because Donald Trump told him to. Well, that would be such a huge interference. People would see it as a violation of independence and be willing to go to war over it. And then the third reason was that the power of the Israeli regime and the Israeli defense forces committed a number of atrocities against Palestinians, especially the Qana massacre in Lebanon of 1996, which is what got people like Muhammad Atta to sign up to be a Mujahideen fighter. So it was actually reading the words and saying, you know, it turns out that as bad as, you know, as bad as these atrocities are, it does not happen as a result of too much libertarianism and we just sat back and this happened to us. Mm-hmm. Turns out the opposite. This is referred to as blowback terrorism. Another case is July 12th of 2016. A man named Omar Mateen murdered 49 people in the Orlando Pulse nightclub, injured 53, and held the survivors hostage and called 911 himself. Barack Obama and Donald Trump came out and said, this was an attack against LGBT Americans, radical Islam is terrible. What he said is, America's killing women and children in Iraq and Syria. You have to stop the bombing. Stop collaborating with Russia. This is how we feel. Now you feel how it is. His statements couldn't have been more clear. No hatred of homosexuals was evident. And they still lied about it again. So this is a decades-long lie. And when you see such blatant examples of, there's no innocent explanation for either of these things. That's what really humbled me to the point where I'm like, all right, I can't come up with any more rationalization, so I'll just look humble and say, all right, I've been wrong. I hope to be right in the future. Thanks for everything.
Yeah. I want to go back to, you said that during Obamacare, you were listening to Glenn Beck. Now, were you listening to him to refute or listening to him because someone else had it on? Like, how did you come about Glenn Beck talking about his objection to the Affordable Care Act?
It was pure curiosity of how could it would make sense if there were like five Republicans on the whole planet. But the fact that there's like tens of millions in this country that just don't care if people die, how does this work? This makes no sense. I have to at least hear them out. So if you want to conquer something, you have to first understand it, more or less. I just could not believe. What is it that he's saying? Well, it turns out that just giving the state a monopoly on education doesn't make everyone educated. You don't get universal smartness from state education. The state coercively funds and monopolizes the court system. You don't have universal free justice. But for some reason, I thought they could do that with health care. Again, I'm sorry.
There's nothing to be sorry about. We came from the other side. I mean, we were, I would say, hardcore conservatives who thought Obama was a terrorist, by the way.
You're right about that.
And the Antichrist.
Well, just not that.
He is a terrorist in Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria.
Yeah. I remember being excited when we first bombed Iraq, like in 2003. Is that when it was, right?
Well, there had been about 12 years of bombings first, before that.
Okay, in my history, watching it on TV in school, we watched that, and I was excited about it. And I was excited about that for probably 10 years before I started to question that. It's probably because I was finding some Ron Paul videos on YouTube. Something like that. And so people can change. That's an important thing for people to remember, because today when you look on social media, you see a lot of people who are ingrained in their point of view, and it's good for all of us to realize that we were hardcore right wing, bomb them into submission so they can have democracy,
turn the sand into glass,
that kind of thing. And then we have
awful
then we have a progressive. And now we all probably agree that something like volunteerism is the best way. And I was going to have you tell us why volunteerism would be better, because Republicans, you know, people would say, well, they don't care about people. They just want them to die. Okay, well, how would this society be better? And then I want to add my own thing. It's not that it's better is the reason that I support it. It's because it's the only moral system. That's why I support it. If we could make the argument that enslaving people would make people more prosperous, I wouldn't do it because it wouldn't be moral. So why is volunteerism the best way to do it?
Yes, the people constantly advocating the murder of civilians are terrified that we don't care about people.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm going to pretend that they don't believe that and try to give a straight answer. The reason volunteerism is better, and that's the key word, because for some reason I guess people hear perfect when we say better, and they go, well, what about this shortcoming? The problem is all of the shortcomings that can occur under volunteerism. Altruism, greed, fraud, murder, kidnapping, those can also exist under a state regime. The reason voluntarism is better is it doesn't have the double standard, the moral double standard, which says theft isn't theft if you call it taxation, murder's not murder if you call it war, violently dominating people isn't terrible if you call it regulation or vote on it first. But secondly, voluntarism allows for the ultimate check and balance in society, which all governments, by definition, necessarily neglect, which is the freedom to disassociate with bad actors. You want to give people the incentives and say, I wish you'd do better. I wish you'd provide better security. I wish you'd provide a more just justice system. But at some point, you have to be willing to withdraw monetary support as well as the support of your time and attention. Governments necessarily rule those things out. So voluntarism is not only the most moral system, but it provides you with more economic opportunities than you otherwise have, and provides the proper incentives for providers of justice and security. Just as they'll always tell us, it's really bad if there's a monopoly in microphones, because you'd have higher prices and worse quality than you otherwise would. Also, the state should monopolize compulsory education, and monopolize guns, and monopolize the court system. The same shortcomings apply. But they apply more so because they don't even have that opt-out of funding them option that voluntarism does. Those are the main issues. And even when it comes to something like security, we had a terrible breach at work where an engineering company had a ton of ransomware. All of their property was stolen and encrypted, and they didn't know what to do. None of them are voluntarists, but none of them said, we need to call 911, we need to call the FBI, we need to call the CIA. For the violation of their most valuable private property, they went to private security, Google, who backed up their stuff, private security at PayPal, and a private antivirus organization called Sentinel One. We see private security all around us. When we go to shopping malls, when we go to sporting events, when I was at the Slipknot concert. This is where there's a lot of danger in a very narrow area. You'd think if there's any time we need a state, it's there. Turns out that it's actually in their incentive to provide a safe environment for customers to be, so they can get investors to invest and they could get bands to be there in return. We see private security all around us. It's always going to exist because there is consumer demand for having things safe and secure, your body, your time, your property. So that's why voluntarism is more moral, and that's why it's more economically desirable in all aspects of life.
Real quick, I know you have a podcast also. You said don't tread on anyone,
yes.
Right? Okay, could you tell everyone about that that's listening?
This is a podcast that I started because I felt that my time was rather disrespected in school. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I heard about Pythagoras' theorem, but it seems very unproductive. And what I wanted to do was provide a place where people can go to my Odyssey page or YouTube or Spotify, click on anything and start learning immediately. Some of the videos, I did one the other day called The Gender Death Gap in hopes of refuting a number of social justice assumptions about the world. Some are 2 minutes. Others, I have one called The Ultimate Red Pill, which is 5 hours and 15 minutes. So I only put
that's
stuff...
That's a book. That's not a podcast.
Yeah, really. Yeah. I know. If someone wants to make a transcript of that, we don't believe in IP, so take it away. I would appreciate it. The whole thing is to give people a place where anyone can click and start learning about history, economics, agriculture. This is also the goal of the Libertarian Institute and why Scott Horton was kind enough to bring me on board, because we want people to be able to go to this place and type in Winston Churchill, Ukraine, agricultural subsidies, and get the freedom position, because we have centuries that many people have not been introduced to, centuries of thought that are really vitally important, especially at a time like this. It turns out people like Pat Buchanan in 1999, he wrote a book titled A Republic, Not an Empire, where he said the most dangerous thing would be expanding NATO up to Russia's border. This could potentially provoke a third world war with a country who we just avoided a huge potential nuclear conflict with. The Soviets finally fell because that stupid empire got bogged down in an unwinnable war in Afghanistan in the late 70s. What empire would fall for such a thing?
That is ridiculous.
Those stupid Soviets in Afghanistan. Yeah. I can't believe it. So once you get introduced to that thing, the work of Scott Horton, John J. Mearsheimer, and Pat Buchanan, you see, there is no innocent explanation for these conflicts that that we're getting into now. You see Lindsey Graham in 2017 going to the fighters in Ukraine to say, 2017 will be the year of offense. We're going to Washington to make the case against Russia. Enough of Russian aggression. It's time for them to pay a heavier price. These people are constantly provoking the world wars, even though the right says, thou shalt not murder is the center of my religion. They support people who are responsible for more mass murder than anyone else. The left will say, we believe in anti-greed and we believe in equality and dignity. The mass murder campaigns that the warfare states have given us make them the most likely to commit the very thing that they say that they're terrified of occurring. Yes, low wages are bad. Murdering those people is far worse. So we want to make this education free for basically anyone. Check it out at libertarianinstitute.org, where you can also find my podcast, the Don't Tread on Anyone podcast.
I was about to ask you, you know, I'm converted. You converted me right now and where to sign up. And you knew exactly that it was time to give the URL. So thank you. Thank you, Keith. I mean, I feel like I just learned so many things just then. You remember so many things that I would need to read off of a sheet of paper, clearly, and I just wanted to commend you on that, and I'm jealous also, just so you know. Okay, I want to know how, but I know you were born with it, and I can't learn it. So anyway, sorry, we'll talk about this later on. Anyway.
It was great meeting you, Keith. Yeah,
pleasure
really,
to meet you guys.
Yeah,
thank
really
you so much for having me. Yeah.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight on Liberty at Night. Charlie, did you have a good time?
I had a great time.
I had an amazing time, too. The interview with Keith was great. We had Spike Cohen. We had Steve Forbes earlier on. Okay, pretty cool stuff. Every Tuesday night, you got Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck on the Free Talk Live Network. We'll see you soon.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunnybay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunnybay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunnybay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.